Good morning. It's 6:14 a.m. on June 25th, a Monday morning, 2012. It's rather humid. It's kind of warm. It's 70 degrees already. And the overnight humidity, the moisture in the air condensing as the overnight temperatures dropped, making the morning extra humid, because yesterday's high was 103, and so a lot of moisture got picked up in that atmosphere, and then when it cooled overnight, that 30 degree drop made a big difference in relative humidity, so it feels very sticky this morning. Today's going to be a big day. Got a family home yesterday. They ran into mechanical difficulties with their aircraft. So they got late, delayed by an hour or so. So instead of getting home in the middle of the afternoon, they got home around dinner time. And they were hot and tired and not really in the mood for dinner. So I got a box of pseudo tacos, and we called that good. Then, of course, they ate snacks all night and dug into the ice cream. And yeah, they're home. So today I've got an early morning therapy session, 8 o'clock. My normal hour is 10, but I botched my appointment last week and lost my time slot. What I need to do is, when I go in today, get all of my future appointments scheduled to the afternoon so that my 9 to noon block becomes less cluttered. And I don't know what I'm going to do about 9 to noon today, whether I'll come home and start at 9:30 and go to 12:30, whether I'll break it up into a couple of different sections. I'm not sure. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I do have to have 3 hours today. My inclination is to hit it when I come home and just work for 3 hours when I get back. So I'm trying to think if there's anything in particular that I'm excited about this morning, other than having another good day of riding ahead of me. I did do my 3 hours yesterday, got another 2,500 words. There was I am still doing 1,000 words an hour for writing, but I took time at the beginning to refresh my memory as to where I was and did a little cleanup. I realized that in doing that and in looking up when Ravenwood ended compared to where Zyfira's Call begins, it's about 3 weeks. There's a 3 week gap between the two, which is about right, but I was concerned that I had ended Ravenwood on the equinox, and I didn't. It was actually a month before the equinox. And in looking that up, I realized that the names that I have been working with in Zyfira's Call for the people in the village were wrong. They were actually the people out of South Coast. So it's like, oh, yeah. At least I was consistent. And so find and replace took care of it. But it was one of those, oh, duh. And I had to go back and make it right so that I could keep going forward correctly. So it took a little while to get into the rhythm of the story, to find out what happens next, and to start writing it. And I'm okay with that. If I can get 2,500 words out consistently every single day, while it's not 10,000 word days, it's also more than I've written in the whole month of April and May combined, I think. So 7,500 words as of yesterday in 3 days. And overall, the new beginning, if I remember correctly, the new beginning is around 14,000 words, 15,000 words, something like that. Which, when added to the 70,000 I already have, makes A Furious Call already over 80,000 words. And I still got a little bit to go in the first act. Another 10,000 words or so before we actually transition into Act 2. And I know that sounds formulaic and mechanical, but the reality is not so much that the formula dictates what we write. It's that storytelling, just as much as writing a symphony or a sonata or a sonnet or a play, they all have forms that have evolved to facilitate the storytelling. And I know Tara Lee in particular is concerned that the Campbellian cycle, the hero's journey, is dictating what I write. But the reality is that every story that has any kind of decent growth, any kind of decent movement in it, can be deconstructed after the fact to find the components of the journey that it uses in order to create that movement, to create that advancement in the characters, to create the idea of plot. And it's really how I'm looking at this idea of the three-act structure. It's really quite a good one. It doesn't mean I can't write a decent story. I do fiddle with the proportions. Classically, 25% of the story is supposed to be the act one, 50% of the story is supposed to be act two, and then 25% of the story is the thrilling conclusion and denouement, or act three. Now, I fiddle with that all the time. And in the share books, act one is actually like 8 pages or so, up to the point where he goes onto the ship. And his life aboard the Lois is really all act two. And since there's no real significant conflict resolution, it really just goes on until we get to the denouement, which is the last chapter, where they're rolling the repainted grav pallet off the ship and the captain sends Ishmael off to join the crew. And so from that perspective, the share books really don't have that same kind of three-act structure, but they also have that man against nature overarching plot structure, the overarching story. rather than the man against man, or even the man against himself, although there's a certain amount of that in the stories as well. But man against man stories, those kinds of traditional conflicts, fit the three-act structure much better than some of the others. So it's not so much as a prescriptive formula, it's more like a descriptive formula that's used to describe how stories work, how stories are balanced, how the action of a story moves from the beginning to the end. It's sticky, it's warm. I have muck mouth this morning. I did get a couple swallows of coffee before I left because I did get up at 4 instead of 5. It's probably because I went to bed at 9 instead of 10. I was pooped. It was hot. I just didn't feel like messing with things anymore, so I called it a night early, crawled into bed, read a little bit, passed out. What am I reading? I'm reading H.P. Mallory, To Kill a Warlock, which is kind of a, I don't know if it's a paranormal romance. It's contemporary paranormal. It's urban fantasy, probably. Although, while it has its darker elements, it's also certainly humorous in places. The opening scene is when the main character has been turned into a 10-foot tall booger with 9 eyes and several hands and fingers and leaves a slime trail, which I thought was humorous. It was certainly not the glamour kind of glamour that we're used to seeing. And yeah, there's paranormal elements. There's fairies, trolls, hobgoblins, gremlins, the demon, vampire. The vampire is faintly ludicrous. And the subplot is the main character wants to be a novelist, which I found to be a bit self-referential in that I read a lot of H.P. Mallory's struggle in becoming an author in this main character's frustration in trying to sell her historical romance. But it's kind of cute, and I think I picked it up for free, actually. It's kind of cute. I'm enjoying it. It's very light. It's very fluffy. It's certainly not something that I would normally read. I really don't like most of what passes for paranormal, either contemporary urban paranormal or paranormal romance. This is kind of cute. I'm waiting to see how it turns out. Oh, I should probably mention where I found it. There is a service called BookBub, and I'm not quite sure what BookBub means or where it came from or whatever. But if you Google BookBub, B-O-O-K-B-U-B, BookBub, I think it's BookBub.org. That might be BookBub.com. Google it, you'll find it. And what you do is you put your email address in, and every day they send you a list of two or three deals of the day. Frequently there's something free. You get to pick the genres you're interested in, and I pick science fiction, fantasy. And so you don't get thrillers, you don't get mysteries, you don't get erotica, you don't get anything you're not interested in, and you get these nice little, you know, deal of the day kinds of emails in the morning. I think they're hitting my inbox around 9 a.m. They must be, because they're not there when I go to write, but they are there when I come back. So it seems to me they're coming in my time between 9 and noon. So I don't know. You can calculate what that would be at your house. And it might vary depending on load. I don't know. But it's interesting. And I've seen several things. I've actually gotten one. So it's pretty effective. And I finished a long eastern trek, turning north now along the park. The sun is already too hot. It's already too muggy. I've got to get clean clothes on and get to my therapist at 8, which means I need to get my breakfast moving fast this morning. None of this lallygagging around. I also have to start being a lot more careful on my diet. I went a little overboard this week with the family gone, pretty much eating what I want. Reality was, I really only ate a couple times a day. Had a big breakfast, then a good supper. In the middle of the day, I just sort of had a fruit, vegetable, snack, turkey sandwich. Nothing too big, too complicated. In part because what I was doing was eating a large brunch, which was carrying me over through dinner. But I have to start being more aware of salt. My fingers are already swelling up this morning. And I know that's from the salt that I ate yesterday. Birds this morning. It's interesting, even I just walked through a big patch of shade, and while it cut off the sun so I didn't get the direct radiant heat from the sun, really wasn't that much cooler, which is a little disconcerting about what it says for what we're due for the day. At any rate, here I am, crossing the street for the last time. Walking up to the back gate, which is where I tell you, tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.